Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, weinihau, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, half a day, salam, shalom, peace now, go vegan, peace now. Go vegan. Well, from the golden state of being in the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison industrial complex of the Corporation of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, ever the more confident now in our leadership to guide us on our only survivable course, huh? On the march to a vegan world, a peaceful world, a world where all can be fed, a world where violence isn't glorified. And who better to lead us there than a bunch of face hunters out there leading the way? You know, don't think we're getting this tough, macho, in-your-face politics just from face hunter Dick Cheney. I don't know if you saw it in the news a few months back when it was reported, or you know, maybe it wasn't quite front page, but it was true after all. I reported it here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, but former President Jimmy Carter hooked his face while fishing. This goes back a few months. Apparently, it was really painful, and he had to be held down to have it removed. That's the hook, not his face. Ouch! Ouch! Imagine what that felt like. Imagine what each fish feels each and every time one gets hooked. And that happened to former President Jimmy Carter. Anyway, the Repub All Cons accused Carter of playing politics with his face, trying to play macho to the sportsman's crowd by creating the new extreme sport of face fishing. Well, Democrats, who are usually perceived as a bit weak on defense and a bit weak on terrorism, were rising in the polls. After all, if one of their own former presidents, considered the mild-mannered one, were willing to take a hook in the face, well, what a bunch of wimps the Repub All Cons must look like, especially perhaps after a caged, canned hunt of tame, wingless birds. It really wasn't supposed to come out yet that the Repub All Cons had developed, now you know it. It's face hunting in response to the Democrats' face fishing. And in fact, the reporter from Field and Stream who leaked the story to me looks like he's going to face, Judith Miller-like treatment. It wasn't supposed to come out yet. But, you know, tapping the keg a bit at the barbecue there loosened the lips of Dick Cheney and spoke a few choice words to my friend at Field and Stream. And, you know, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be revealing it yet myself here, but, you know, the secret experiment from Halliburton Labs, codename Operation Hairy Wit. It was Operation Hairy Wit for Harry Whittington. It all goes back to, whenever Bush says something, you know it's the opposite, right? So you remember back in his State of the Union, Bush said he was so against animal-human hybrids. Animal-human hybrids, totally against it. Well, apparently, it was so the Bush Corporation could be the first to develop the animal-human hybrid for the marketplace. And voila! Here it is, the animal-human hybrid, codename Harry Witt, or Harry Whittington. Cheney was just out doing some product development, testing the product. An animal-human hybrid is expected to be in great demand in the future, and not just for hunters who want the thrill of shooting animals who just look like humans and therefore don't experience any pain or suffering when shot. They don't bleed. They, you know, they don't have families. They're just machines without souls, no emotions, you know, just like animals that hunters shoot. So animal-human hybrids will be great for hunting in the future, but also they're great for stocking cities where war has already wiped out entire populations. That way, there's no need to cut the weapon and war industry budget. With animal-human hybrids, there'll always be new populations to wipe out. And it's just that they haven't totally tweaked the final hairy wit animal-human hybrid just right yet. Cheney was out trying to teach it to be heartless and soulless and emotionless, and it was, you know, just like Cheney, you know, supposed to get out of the vehicle and start blowing away these tame little wingless quail. And apparently, while Cheney was engaged in his sport, enjoying his recreation, the animal-human hybrid Harry Witt was so horrified and disoriented by the madness of the cruelty that he himself was shot. And well, what can I say? But that's actually another in a series of Harry Whittington malfunctions that haven't quite been able to get it right yet. Where, you know, the demonstration of disdain for senseless violence indicates that the animal-human hybrid so far, you know, it's still showing characteristics a little too animal and not enough human. So anyway, Whittington was reported to be resting comfortably in Halliburton Labs, drinking more of Cheney's blood, and will be tested again soon. Actually, I wish it were Cheney who would be tested. Shouldn't there be a basic psychological test? You know, kind of an SAT of the mind for our top GovEnronment leaders. I mean, that Dick Cheney. Holy cow, he needs a rest, I think. He's just too much of a workaholic. I mean, he takes his work home with him all the time. After a hard day of planning death and destruction at the office, what does he do for fun? Death and destruction. No, he can't go home and play Trivial Pursuit or Yahtzee. No, he gets a few spare minutes and he's out there. No, he doesn't go off to the batting cage like, you know, some dads might. He's off to the hunting cage where the animals are caged in. He's busy. You know, well, he's busy. He's the vice president or the president or whatever he is. So he has no time for following hunting laws, no time to stalk the prey. Just drive up, you know, drive right up to the tame birds who can't escape and fire away. What a great sport, huh? Well, maybe Cheney thinks it's sport because he's not supposed to be around loud noises like guns firing because it's bad for the heart. If you have one, and you know, some people aren't just an embarrassment to our country; they're an embarrassment to our species. You know, so, and I don't just say that because I'm not just saying that because.
Oh, new one! I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I say it because it would be nice if. You know, if recreational snipers would just take a moment now to examine if shooting an innocent animal really is sport. I mean, I see Ed Schultz, you know, the meat-eating, gun-toting lefty on Air America immediately defending sport hunting as opposed to this caged hunting or canned hunting in which Cheney engages. But you know, I think it only will be fair when Ed Schultz puts on a pair of Converse sneakers and starts sprinting after a deer. That, you know, then it starts to become sport, huh? And once Big Eddie catches that deer after, you know, chasing her down, you know, good luck, Big Eddie, with your human claws and your fangs. I think Big Eddie would be wishing he were an animal-human hybrid himself. Anyway, the moral of the story, Dick Cheney eats meat. Don't be like Dick Cheney. Don't eat meat. Okay? Dick Cheney does not need to spend, you know, any more time, you know, at work. He needs to spend a little more time R&R at home. But I would say don't buy him a Scrabble game, though. If he winds up playing that with George W. Bush and... You know, he'll get so frustrated he'll want to go out and blow up more defenseless birds. You know, these guys need to be put on a diet. You know, get them off the meat and dairy, Although I don't know. Again, I hope it's not too late, because if anyone is showing signs of a human form of mad cow disease, it is Bush and Cheney. But around here, it's never too late to go vegan and change the world and save the world. Even Bush and Cheney. Hey, even for them. It's President's Day weekend, and even though neither of them was ever really elected president, but, you know, they both are. Anyway, so today we'll put them and you on the World Peace Diet. Will Tuttle will be talking to us in just a few minutes about his new book, The World Peace Diet, today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And once again, I must remind you, Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Go Vegan Radio, was on Jack Abramoff's list to be helped financially. It was on the list just under Indian casinos, and lobbyist money never quite got laundered down to help us pay for this very expensive radio airtime. And I cannot do this without your help. I can't tell you what a low-budget, grassroots, educational effort this is. No, I didn't retire from music radio with a fortune to create a vegan radio show. No, this is week to week, month to month. And amazingly, we're still on after 5 years. Amazingly that we're on an Air America affiliate in the San Francisco Bay Area. But it all costs money, and you know, my time is spent all week soliciting advertising and donations to keep the show on the air, and to work on creating events that help promote the cause of animals. And we had our Chicken Lovers Valentine's party, which was quite a blast up in, you know, just north of L.A. And then we had to head down south to San Diego, to La Jolla, for our Valentine's for the SEALs. And oh, gosh, I blew a tire on the way down to San Diego. I got there a little late, blew a tire on Interstate 5. Just the kind of week I'm having here. But, you know, thanks to Channel 8 for hanging out there. I got there so late. We were supposed to be there at 11:30 in the morning and got there about a quarter after 12. And two of the TV stations who were covering it lost patience, and even the anti-Valentine for the SEALs people left, and how dedicated they are to doing anything for the destruction of the SEALs. So they ran out of patience, but thanks to Channel 8. But I could tell the Channel 8 person there, the camera person, was there. I said, I know why you waited for us here. You're an animal lover. Her sweatshirt was covered with cat hair, so I knew she was sympathetic to the cause, and that's why she was hanging out, and she waited for us. And yeah, that's just the kind of week that I'm having here. I blew the tire, and then I find out, oh, the house where I'm living is getting sold, so now I have to find a place to live right away. And I don't know. My friend Kenneth G. Williams, who was down for both events here from the Bay Area into Southern California, was here for Chicken Lover's Valentine's party, which we had a blast out at Animal Acres, and then came down to see the SEALs in La Jolla. I don't know. He said to me that, my problems would be solved by having a wife. So I don't know. I guess, I'm paying for the airtime here. I might as well make this my classifieds for the air. Let's see. I don't know if you can't help me with a donation of a tire or, let's see. I don't know. For a wife, let's see. Single vegan male looking for single vegan female who loves to walk on the beach. That's good. Or, let's see, other classified that I could put here. Vegan talk show host looking for a place to live, cheap to low rent in exchange for maybe vegan cooking. And let's see, vegan cooking and, loving animal care. Yes, that would be good too. Or if you can't help with attire or you're not my potential wife or a place to live, you can help with a tax-deductible donation, and that would really be effective in helping to support this show. So you can make a donation online at goveganradio.com. And yes, even though your GovEnronment is spying on you, because you're listening to this radio program, it still encourages you to give money to it, and it is tax deductible. Bush and Cheney know that they should go vegan. They know they should go vegan. They just need the encouragement, and they know that you need it too, and that's why your donations are still tax deductible to the extent allowable by law, as Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. And so you can, yes, even though you're being spied upon for listening, you are encouraged to donate, and it is tax deductible. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, 92164. All this information is at the website, goveganradio.com. You can donate online. We podcast, we archive these shows, so if you come in late or you want your friends to hear one of the programs, just direct them to goveganradio.com, where you will hear Will Tuttle coming up, and we will be discussing his great new book, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veganaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veganaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veganaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Also from Follow Your Heart, vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. Yes, if dairy is scary, as it should be, you don't have to want for anything enchiladas, pizza, nachos. You can have them all. Vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, they melt. And stop giving your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken. Thanks so much to Chef Carrie Brown for coming out to our Chicken Lovers Valentine's Party at Animal Acres last Sunday. We had a blast. The food was delicious. So many different varieties, all prepared with chicken-free chicken. Check it out. You'll love it. And available also at Follow Your Heart.
We don't eat chickens. We pet chickens.
That's for sure. Well, you're a California vegan, and when you're in West LA, Brentwood, or Santa Monica, where do you go to eat? Why, California Vegan, of course. Whatever your mood, you know California Vegan has the food and the selection to satisfy every vegan taste. You can choose from 17 appetizers, from dumplings to spring rolls, grilled potatoes with chef sauce to pepper steak barbecue, and over a dozen more choices. 10 soup selections, including traditional Thai favorites featuring coconut milk, lemongrass, and spices. 7 salads on the menu, including high protein. 19 a la carte items. The soy fish and new orange chicken and pad thai are quite popular, and you have 14 other choices, along with 10 rice and noodle dishes, 5 curries, 7 burgers, 6 wraps, 3 pancake dishes, 3 chef specials, coconut on paradise, California sizzling hot platter, and mom's Pa Kung, a soy shrimp dish. How about a banana spring roll or carrot cake for dessert? That's California Vegan, 12113 Santa Monica Boulevard, near Bundy in Los Angeles. The phone number 310-207-4798. Lunch special $6.95, dinner special $10.95. Organic when possible, no white sugar or MSG. Visit californiavegan.com. Fast free delivery in 4-mile radius. Free spring roll with delivery over $20. California Vegan, 11 a.m. to 10:30 6:30 p.m. every day, 12113 Santa Monica Boulevard near Bundy. And again, it's californiavegan.com. And on the menu, it says, vegan means the way of peace, kindness to animals. Don't eat them or kill them for clothing, food, or any means of existence. Visit californiavegan.com.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does. And to get it out of your life, you get rid of meat, you can get a free vegetarian starter kit from PETA. Go to the website, PETA.org, PETA.org. Also, employment opportunities at PETA at PETA.org.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue now. And today our guest is Will Tuttle, PhD, who is a scholar, artist, pianist, composer, educator, author, spiritual pilgrim. Trained to be a Buddhist monk in his background. His background includes a doctorate from Berkeley, training as a Zen Buddhist monk, and now he has authored a book called The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Welcome, Dr. Tuttle. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Bob.
Great to have you here with us today, Will. So, for a while there, you thought you were the only voice connecting the issues that relate to diet and world peace, and you finally started.
Right. Yeah, you're doing a great job here with that, too.
Well, yes, and here's your book that does just that also, and it goes so unnoticed. So what's the major premise of your book in The World Peace Diet, Will?
The main premise of the book is that there's a lurking shadow in our culture that's invisible, and it's our mentality. It's the mentality that's required by the violence that we inflict on animals for food. And since we basically, at a deep level, are very uncomfortable with how we treat animals for food, we learn at an early age to disconnect from what's on our plate, to disconnect from the suffering that we're causing, and that this causes us as a culture and as individuals to disconnect from our spiritual resources, and also to disconnect from the truth that we are, that we have a fundamental compassionate aspect or compassionate nature, that is our true nature. And we learn to harden ourselves and really to see ourselves essentially as predators, because we eat the flesh and of animals, and especially the flesh of animals that are cruelly confined and killed, and the secretions of animals that are cruelly confined. And so all of this, again, is invisible because we would rather not talk about it, not just us, you know, as the people in the culture, but really the, you know, people at every stage of our culture, the leaders, the government people, the academics, the scientists, as well as the people who are writing, you know, plays and movies, and it just goes all the way through the culture. No one really wants to look at this because no one wants to look behind the curtain of what we're doing to animals. So that's that mentality, really, of violence and then of covering it up creates a very powerful psychological field that forces us into really two things. One is to numb ourselves to what we're doing, not only to animals, but really to each other. And then secondly, as I think Jung was very perceptive to see, that the shadow always ends up getting projected. So then to project the violence and terrorism that we're causing onto some evil enemy that we have to create, and then we have to create lots of weapons to kill him and go after him. You know, so this has been going on really for, I think, for probably, well, since animals were first domesticated about 8,000 to 10,000 years ago, I think is when we really had the last major revolution in our culture, and it was a revolution that we really, I think, haven't had the next revolution. And I think the next revolution will be a vegan revolution. Will be when we have a breakthrough and move beyond this mentality of violence and the numbing and covering up of that violence. That's, I think, the real revolution that's called for now.
And so the next revolution is the vegan revolution.
Yeah, that's the one, Bob, because, you know, the scientific revolution, so-called, and the industrial revolution and the communications revolution people are talking about a lot now and so forth really didn't change anything in terms of our basic mentality. They just reinforced it, really, if anything. But a revolution has to go deeper than that, and I think our culture is really organized at its very core around seeing animals as mere commodities and herding them and eating them at the end of the day and all during the day. So that's the fundamental core, and a revolution that we really long for, I think, in our spirit, is the next level of our evolution, would be to see animals as beings, you know, to see beings as beings, not as things.
Right. Well, I suppose some people who might be listening now would think, what do you mean that there's violence at the core of our culture? and you say animal abuse is the centerpiece of our civilization, that the driving force between the dilemmas that we face, war, addictions, family breakdowns, you know, all stem from the mentality of the exploitation of other beings. And you
right.
know, that is so covered up. Who would imagine, I mean, that, what, the eating of a Happy Meal? Is that an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. You know, the idea that the burgers grow in a burger patch and the meals are Happy Meals, you know, like a burger is like an orange or an apple that just sort of offers itself to us. And actually, if we talk to anyone who's worked in a slaughterhouse, or in a factory farm, or seen interviews with these people, they will say it's always just the opposite. These animals absolutely resist being killed. They'll do anything they can to protect themselves and protect their loved ones, their families. And so we absolutely are engaged in enormous degree of violence. It's incomprehensible. 30 million mammals and birds and about 45 million fish every day in the United States are slaughtered, and these are forces that are really really huge. You know, I think it's very naive to think that the forces that it takes, really the psychological forces and the physical violence that it takes to kill, confine and kill that many animals every day, that these seeds that we sow by these actions just sort of disappear into thin air. You know, like this doesn't, you know, we don't create any seeds by doing that. And I think the reason we are so naive and think that doesn't hurt us in any way is that the animals themselves cannot retaliate. You know, they're not going to sue us. They're not going to come back and hit us. You know, or their children won't directly. But our violence itself retaliates against us, and that's something I think we're not. Unfortunately, I guess we haven't matured spiritually to the point where we see that what goes around really does come around again. And
yeah.
The violence that we inflict on others does come back, ultimately, as all the traditions of the world, the spiritual traditions of the world, have emphasized this point. They all agree on that whatever we harm others, we actually harm ourselves even more, because we deaden the vital spark of life and of compassion and of wisdom in ourselves, and we become capable of inhumane acts. We really lose our way, and I think that's what our culture, I think we're realizing that. Hopefully we're realizing when we see that what we do to animals, we end up doing to each other, and other humans we're treating the same way as animals.
Yeah, I mean, I often talk metaphorically of you are what you eat, and you're ingesting all the suffering, the terror, the torture, the fear of the animals, and it does turn out that that's the effect physiologically also, you know. You talk about the metaphysics of food, right? Is that
well? Yeah, actually, I have a whole chapter on the metaphysics of food, which I think, you know, unfortunately, has really since our culture, you know, is quite materialistic. If something is not physically measurable, then we just say it doesn't exist. And I think that's an extremely short-sighted, shallow view of the nature of reality. And you know, there's a lot of research now pointing to what ancient traditions have said for a long time, that what we are as humans is not just a physical thing, that we are consciousness, that we are, we could say we're spirit, but we definitely are consciousness. And when I eat something like a piece of flesh from an animal, I'm not just eating a physical thing. I'm actually eating a vibrational frequency that is extremely, you know, it's filled with grief and pain. And I think if we were more sensitive, we would know that. But we are, in our culture, as children, we've been taught from a very young age to desensitize ourselves, especially men, to disconnect from our feelings, because a herding culture requires men who are capable of sustained violence against animals. And we are living still, even though we can't see the animals anymore because they're locked away on factory farms, we're still living in what is essentially a herding culture that requires men to brutalize animals. So this desensitization, I think, is what really causes us to be able to do this violence. But I think as we become more sensitized and we start to wake up and awaken and feel, then we we just wouldn't be able to do it. We would just, if we held a hamburger in our hand, I think we would begin to either weep or scream, but we wouldn't just be able to, certainly wouldn't be able to eat it when we saw what actually the energy was there.
Right. Well, you blame our herding culture leading to an oppressive, hierarchical society, large-scale warfare.
Right. And especially the domination of the feminine principle, I think, is a big part of that, because if you really look carefully at what we do to animals for food, it's basically the female animals that are most brutally treated, and it's their products that we use the most, and it's the female animals that are kept in oppressive conditions much longer. Your early herders realized early on that the way for them to maximize meat production and milk production was to have lots of females and just a few males. And so the manipulation and domination of, really, I think we all know in our hearts what's the most beautiful and sacred aspects of our human life, which is the nurturing of the young and supporting and loving and raising the young. These feminine functions are really very sacred, I think, to us. And for us to so brutally dominate cows, for example, for their milk and steal their babies away, you know, repeatedly, and to put hens in cages where they're so extremely confined and steal their eggs and kill all the males and then kill them so brutally. This really represses our whole feminine aspect, and again, spiritual traditions have recognized that intuition and spiritual sensitivity are basically aspects that are also feminine. That both men and women, we have these aspects, and the other aspect, the masculine, which is more rational and analytical and knows by dividing and by separating, has just taken the ascendancy and has created a situation where we can justify anything, you know, rationally. We can destroy nature and animals and each other and have this perverse kind of rationale behind it. And I think it's really tied in many ways to the habits, to the practice of eating animal foods every day. It's this ritual that we are trained in from the time we lose our mother's breast. Suddenly there we are, you know, eating the lamb and the veal.
Mm-hmm. And you've come to the conclusion, as many great thinkers have, and I believe it too, that there will never be world peace as long as animals are eaten.
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting. I remember when I was in school, I learned early on, I learned the Pythagorean theorem, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, in terms of geometry. But there was another Pythagorean theorem. Pythagoras said, as long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other. And they didn't, for some reason, they didn't teach me that one. But, that, I think what he was saying, and I think it operates with mathematical certainty that, you know, we cannot think that we can have a mentality of that is willing and able to just see these beings as objects to be killed and used for our own benefit, as commodities that we buy and sell and kill and confine, without having that mentality eventually do the same thing to us. And Tolstoy said the same thing. St. Francis, in the research that I've done on the book, I realized that this is a theme that has come down through both Eastern and Western cultures over and over and over and over again. In Buddhist tradition, in the Jain tradition, the Hindu tradition, in many places in the Christian and Jewish traditions, Islamic tradition, it's really universal, and yet it's just repressed. And it's amazing to me, I think, that I could actually go through an entire PhD program, getting a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD, reading thousands, really, of books and articles in philosophy and in psychology, sociology, anthropology, history, literature, education. My PhD was in education, and never once anywhere read one sentence that said perhaps one of the factors that leads to or contributes to the problems that we have in the world is the fact that we're eating animals for food and that there's a mentality of violence that is required for that. I mean, that was never, ever, ever, it's a complete taboo. It was never raised in thousands of books and articles. And I think that's the amazing thing. It's also totally invisible.
It's also continued now in the sense that it's not considered a factor in fossil fuel consumption and global warming and in competition for natural resources, for water. It's the major factor, from what I understand, that we can combat global warming best by stopping meat eating, because methane is one of the greatest contributing factors, and that's related to cow consumption. So.
Right. No, you're totally right, Bob, and it's almost comical, really, to see how a scientific study will come out and say that, and it will just fall flat. Nobody will pick it up and say, oh, okay, let's really cut down on the amount of hamburger we're eating, because that's obviously a main factor. It's the it's the evidence, I guess, of how badly we feel about it, but also, I guess, of some level of addiction, I would think, to this, that we can't really stop. We don't want to talk about it.
Very strong addiction. What do you think it is difficult for people, not to partake in our culture's food? Is it hard for people to say, "Oh, I'm not gonna eat that anymore"? I mean, it's
actually for me, it wasn't very. I mean, I can't say it wasn't very hard, but I was young. I was about 21 or 22, and I was on a spiritual pilgrimage. Actually, physically, just walking from New England to Alabama. I ended up at the farm in Tennessee, and the farm was vegan, and I was already feeling somewhat uncomfortable, even though I was raised eating animals with it, because I was doing a lot of meditating and so forth. But suddenly being in a community of 800 people that was vegan, I mean, they were all vegan, all the kids were vegan, the school was vegan, everything was, and the food was delicious, and the people were happy and strong and healthy, I gave it up gladly and easily. So I think the main obstacle is the fact that we are, as humans, there's really two things. We're very strongly, I think, like all, pretty much all species, conditioned by our parents and our culture when we're young. I think there's. I realized this when I was in Switzerland a few years ago, watching a mother duck feeding her ducklings, and I saw that she was spending a lot of time teaching them how to feed. And then I realized that is perhaps the number one most important thing that any parent of any species teaches his or her young, is how to feed, and it's no different for us. So for me to come along and question someone's food that, their mother taught them to eat and their father taught them to eat with his barbecues, it goes pretty deeply. It's a sort of a deep, ancient kind of distrust of questioning what our culture's food, the tribe and the parents taught us to eat.
Right, so you don't want to offend
factor.
The family.
And then the other, I think, is just the fact that it takes a real breakthrough to make these connections because they're so hidden in our culture.
Yeah, and you don't want to offend the boss or whatever. You know, I remember
I had
a job interview for a radio station in Washington, D.C., and I got off the plane and, you know, I said, well, could we go to an ethnic restaurant or something? He said, no, we're going to Blackie's House of Beef.
Oh, no.
So, they weren't really sympathetic there to like, well, is the broccoli cooked in butter or is it oil? Or, you know, it was really weird.
Right.
But that's it.
Yeah, we humans, again, we're very gregarious. And so many people that's the big block is they think, what would my boss, my mother, my parents, you know, so forth, how would they react to it? So I think, you know, it takes a real spiritual breakthrough on some level for someone, I think, in our culture to go vegan because it requires what I call in the book leaving home, which means on a deep level questioning the underlying assumptions of our culture. And again, I don't think there's anything more fundamental than viewing animals as commodities, and nature really is basically one big commodity. So to go vegan is a complete reversal, and it's extremely subversive. I think it's probably nothing more, really more revolutionary in a positive sense than to eat a plant-based diet for ethical reasons. It's really an amazing challenge to our culture.
Sure.
And I think it plants seeds, though, of
well, if animal abuse is the centerpiece of our civilization, then going vegan is a bit of a challenge to that, but in a healthy, positive way. You also say that Jesus and Buddha taught us to question cultural assumptions, so...
Right, absolutely. They both did, and I think all the spiritual teachers have emphasized that you'll never... number one, never attain real spiritual wisdom, and number two, never advance our culture unless we question the cultural assumptions, the assumptions of the culture we're born into. That's absolutely essential.
And you think that we should spiritualize our conduct?
Well, yes, absolutely. there's kind of a belief, I think, in progressive circles that our behavior doesn't really matter that much, that really what matters is our thinking, our consciousness. And I've had people say, because I speak actually pretty much every Sunday at a Unity church, sometimes at Unitarian churches around the United States, and these are basically progressive people who are open to new ideas, and a lot of people will say, well, I don't really push the vegetarianism or the veganism because I know when people... raise their level of consciousness, then they'll naturally be more sensitive to animal suffering, and they'll just kind of in a natural way stop eating meat and eventually go vegan. But my response to that is, that's a nice theory, but if people don't change their behavior, they won't change their consciousness. I think it's very difficult for someone to raise their consciousness while they're still eating animal foods, because that repeated behavior of just seeing bacon instead of a pig keeps the consciousness at a certain level, and it puts a ceiling on things. And I think that's why spiritual traditions have always emphasized both. They've always said you have to act ethically. There's been, like in the Buddhist tradition, the five precepts, don't kill, steal, lie, and so forth. That's a foundation for spiritual practice, and we have to live these teachings in order to understand them. We have to actually live them.
Oh, so in line with your thinking on this is such a great book, The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. It's from Will Tuttle. You can go to Will's website. It's willtuttle.com, willtuttle.com. I'm speaking at a Unitarian Universalist church in Anaheim on February 26th, and the subject is Achieving World Peace through Veganism.
Great.
Initially, when I was invited to speak there, they were talking about, well, can we take it in steps and recommend organic meat and organic dairy first. And I said, I don't think I'm going to recommend that step. You know?
Right.
I think we're jumping right to vegan here.
So. Well, you know, in actual practice, there are some people that go straight to vegan. You know, I went to vegetarian for a couple of years and then went vegan. But I think it's really what you're saying is absolutely correct. You know, we have to teach the basic principles that animals are not our, you know, as Peter says, are not ours to use and eat and wear. They're not our property. They're beings. And since it's unnecessary for us, and we know that clearly now, to eat them, to use them that way, then there's really no reason to do it other than the fact that we're basically brainwashed into doing it. But that's
right.
Still not a reason.
And had I known that the suffering that you know, goes into dairy and, who thinks of that? I go to peace marches and people say, well, you know, I'm a vegetarian because I don't want to hurt animals. I just drink milk, you know? So it's like, well, let us talk about dairy here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's really important. And that's why I have a whole chapter in the book on dairy and eggs, because I think certainly it's underestimated in our culture, the suffering that these animals go through, especially, well, both dairy cows and hens, because their suffering is protracted, and with modern methods especially, although I don't think it was ever really that great, but with modern methods especially, the way they're impregnated very violently, they're pushed with hormones.
Some would call that rape, you know?
Yeah, I think you would have to, really. I mean, exactly what it is. And
mm-hmm. And so then, there's a rape, there's a kidnapping, and
the most bizarre thing is that the cows would never give the quantity of milk that they want to get. And the cow will only give 25 pounds of milk maximum, typically in the wild. So we've got them now giving over 100 pounds of milk a day, and the only way is through giving them hormones. And then the other thing, though, one of the big factors is feeding them cholesterol. Cholesterol boosts their milk output, and so cholesterol, of course, is only obtained in meat. So we have cows on dairies eating a lot of fish and chicken and pigs, and always they ate cows, too, until that bizarre practice caused the formation of prions, and we have mad cow disease. But they were actually eating their own species, and actually, through the rendering practices, could very well have been eating their own babies, because very often these babies are just rendered. They're not worth anything at the veal market, if the veal market's low.
And through the rendering...
That was the standard practice, yeah.
And through the rendering process also, euthanized dogs and cats go in the feed.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, so it's
right.
Bad things happen when vegetarian animals eat animal products, that's for sure. So
right.
We're just about out of time. Well, did I forget anything you want to get to? We have about 30 seconds, a minute.
Oh, I see. No, I mean, it's been great talking to you, and I think that I'm so happy. I felt like this movement and really our world needed a book that would sort of give the big picture and tie everything together, and I kept waiting to read it, and finally I realized that I guess I was the one that was ordained to write the book, and it's been called by PETA Magazine the ultimate why to go vegan book. But I think, you know, it's really now the revolution, this positive transformational type revolution is really possible for us as human beings, and the missing key is to become aware of what we're actually eating, to go vegan is really the key thing for us to do now.
Well, nothing's more important than world peace. So here you have the World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, and the message is go vegan. Thank you, Will Tuttle, for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thank you so much, Bob.
It was a pleasure. Okay, I believe we look at the calendar here. Yes, indeed. Great conversation with Will Tuttle there. I do want to remind you, whenever you want to find a vegetarian or vegan restaurant or a health food store anywhere in the known universe, go to happycow.net for Happy Cow's Vegetarian Guide to Restaurants and Health Food Stores. It's a free worldwide guide with listings in over 90 countries. Well, let's see, San Francisco Bay Area coming up on Wednesday, the 22nd this week here. What is nature? Peter Brastow speaks for the Nature in the City lecture series, and he'll present an overview of San Francisco's natural environment, discussing the less than obvious meanings of the concept of nature. That's at 1310 Mission at 9th Street in San Francisco, 8:30 p.m. It's free. For information, you can go to natureinthecity.org, natureinthecity.org, and that's happening this Wednesday, which is the 22nd. Staying in the San Francisco Bay Area, San Francisco Vegetarian Society presents its free video night featuring the documentary Stopping Cancer Before It Starts, Cancer-Proofing Your Body with Plant Superfoods with Dr. Michael Greger. That's this Friday, February 24th, 7 p.m. at the Red Victorian Peace Cafe, 1665 Haight Street in San Francisco. You can call 415-273-5481, 415-273-5481, or you can go to sfvs.org. You know, up to 70% of all cancer deaths are preventable by diet alone. You'll find out about it with that. As I mentioned, Sunday, February 26th, at 11 a.m., Unitarian Universalist Church of Anaheim, 511 South Harbor Boulevard, 11 a.m., I am speaking on the subject of achieving world peace through veganism. I'll just bring my little trusty book along here from Will Tuttle, you know, The World Peace Diet. Got some ammunition in there. Okay, let's see. Sábado, 18 de marzo, 12 del mediodía, Hollywood and Vine, Los Angeles, Alto a la Guerra. Oh, yes, it is the next March to Stop the War, Saturday, March 18th. Turn the page over for the English version. Saturday, March 18th, noon, Hollywood and Vine, Los Angeles. The March, another anniversary in the endless war. And the first day of spring coming up, first day of spring almost upon us. That means Meat Out, the longest running grassroots vegetarian education campaign. Worldwide events and commemorations. You can take part with your own Meat Out event. Visit meatout.org, meatout.org. Register your event at meatout.org, where you'll see celebrity endorsements and lots more going on related to Meat Out. That's meatout.org.
Why eat beef or pork or chicken, or use animal fat to thicken your stew? It's not good for you. Why wear shoes that are made of leather, or buy animal furs or a feathery hat? You don't need that. And can't you see every animal is your friend? They may seem tough, but they don't have anything to defend them from you and me. Try a grain or a bean or a nut, and of course some fruits and veggies are what is really good for you. Get some cotton, polyester, or pleather. If you're funning in the sun or you're caught in rainy weather, they'll do and look good on you. Can't you see every animal is your friend? They may seem tough and strong, but in the end they depend on you and me.
Yeah. Okay, that song is called Every Animal. It's from Mark Renberg. Okay, I want to tell you a bit about a wonderful place in Manhattan Beach, Body in Balance, 808 Manhattan Avenue. And, well, from A to Z, it kind of runs acupuncture, belly dancing, brilliant nutrition, chiropractic, facial, hair removal, massage, Pilates, yoga, waxing. Well, it just goes on and on. It's LA's first and only health center and spa that is cruelty-free, non-toxic, organic, and vegan. Yes, relaxing massage, gentle chiropractic care, chemical-free facials and waxing, effective nutritional coaching and acupuncture. And also want to talk to you a bit about a program that I experienced there. I want you to know about the Body in Balance 30-Day Detox and Rejuvenate, which I experienced, and you can too. I shedded unwanted pounds, as you would do also, and you would energize, feel better, have more clarity, your skin looks better, and it's 40% off for listeners of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It's less than $25 a day. And what do you get? All your food is included for a month. 3 fresh, organic, tasty meals a day. And I found them totally delicious, satisfying. And they obviously provided me with some serious nutrition because I had no other cravings. I did lose, it was close to 25 pounds. So it was really great. I recommend that you head on over there. It's one block from the ocean, 10 minutes from the 405. And the website is... bodyinbalancedayspa.com. Bodyinbalancedayspa.com. I strongly recommend it. No matter what your condition, size, symptoms, age, blood type, give a call, 310-406-1910. 310-406-1910. Say you heard about it on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and you get a 40% discount.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
That's right. And you don't have to be one of them because the food is so delicious. Why I recommend you head on over to Truly, Truly Vegan in Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood. It now has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant. It's called Truly. It's located on Hollywood Boulevard right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101. And whether you're a Hollywood celebrity or you just want to eat like one, if you need an event catered or if you want delivery, call 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958. Some wonderful dishes there. The shabu shabu where you cook your own soup right there. They bring a little stove right to your table. You'd be amazed what a great vegan chef you are. And the vegan sushi is incredibly delicious. Chicken nuggets there, quite enjoyable. Folks are enjoying the chicken and waffles. It's all vegan, no animal products. It says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we are making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. So whether it's breakfast or a late-night snack, it's quite an extensive menu, and I believe you will enjoy your visit to Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
We don't want to hurt animals, and eating meat hurts people too, and you wind up with those terrible diseases. And then you need to drink your goji juice. Go vegan and drink goji. Recent studies at Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York on 75 human cancer patients with a variety of cancers. Those whose treatment included Lycium barbarum, polysaccharides, which is what goji juice is all about, had a response rate judged by the 40.9% regression compared to the treatment without Lycium barbarum at 16.1%. So greater regression there. There was something in the Woman's World. There was something in the LA Times on July 18th, goji related to cancer. But, you know, the goji berry is the berry that grows closest to the sun. It's there in Asia. It means happy. There's a festival, amazing arthritis relief, and great for your overall cell rejuvenation, heart conditions. The people I hear from, it's absolutely amazing. So, we're running out of time already? Unbelievable how that happens here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I want to thank you for listening. Great to hear from Will Tuttle. Did I ask you to make a tax-deductible donation at all today? Please, I really need your help. I really need it. This week, I have to pay for the airtime. Go to the website. It's goveganradio.com. You can make your donation online or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. The show is archived at goveganradio.com.